Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for i5 for the iPhone is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of i5 for the iPhone is brought to you by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99 Designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/i5 to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very, very, very special episode of i5 for the iPhone. If you watched last week's show, I also said that one was special, but this is even more special because it's episode number 50, which means we're halfway to 100, and we're golden for now. Happy iOS 7 Beta 4 Day 2, by the way. If you're a developer, you probably want to run right out and get that if you haven't already. And this is the show where we pick the 5 best iPhone apps, news, tips, and tricks, and share them with you. I'm Sarah Lane, and I actually don't really have time for small talk, so let's get to the point. Number one, I'd like to start out today with a double dose of the tip. First one from my buddy who goes by the name of Toy. Toy writes, "Hey Sarah, did you know that if you double tap the arrow on the keyboard, it turns blue on the iPhone 4S and acts as if it's a caps lock? Don't know if you and your viewers knew this already. Thought I would share. Thanks, Toy. Yeah, it works on my iPhone 5 as well, not just the 4S. I knew about this, but I have to admit, I didn't for maybe the first 3 years of having an iPhone, so that when I wanted to write out a whole sentence as if I was yelling, and I do that on occasion, you want it to be all in caps, I had to capitalize every single letter one by one, tapping the arrow key before each letter, and that was very cumbersome. But if you do double tap quickly, that arrow key turns blue, and then you can yell out your Instagram comments in peace." The next tip comes from Andrew in the UK. He says, "When using the default camera app in iOS, you can lock the autofocus and auto exposure at any given point by simply tapping and holding on the screen at the chosen point of focus and holding until the square resizes twice. This, of course, can be unlocked again by tapping the camera preview screen once. Hope this comes in handy for anyone watching the show." Wow, I didn't know that. And I proclaim to be such a camera expert. I knew that I could change where the focus and exposure point could be set after framing an image, but I didn't realize a tap and hold would lock the focus and exposure no matter where I pointed the camera afterwards. For you creative types, this tip will come in handy. Give it a go. Number two, got another email from Zach who writes, "My wife and I would like to start using an app that would better help us manage our weekly grocery list. Do you have a favorite app you use or one you can recommend to us?" Yes, Zach, I do. Back in episode 26, long time ago, we talked about AnyList, which is a great recipe shopping combo app. You add ingredients and recipes to lists, then you share them with your family and friends who also need access to that same list, and then you all cross off items as you pick them up, and the updated list will sync to everybody who's added. However, in the interest of variety, let's show off another grocery app today, something you might not have heard of. Grocery IQ seems to be a big favorite with the community over at thekitchen.com. I hang out there a lot. I read a lot of recipes. So let's see how it stacks up to any list. The first big difference, Grocery IQ is owned by coupons.com, so there's a whole coupon clipping element to this app, at least for big brand items like Cheerios or Huggies diapers or Tide laundry detergent. You basically clip them in the app and then you print them out before you go to the store. Otherwise, Grocery IQ is pretty nice. You can add items manually. You can list items verbally, and Grocery IQ does an okay job of separating them into a list. Milk, eggs, brown sugar, Worcestershire sauce. Or you can scan the barcodes on items you need to buy more of to pull their specific information into Grocery IQ. Lists are easy to share, easy to sync. If you have some sort of food shopping phobia or in a hurry, Grocery IQ will try to point you to the right aisles once you're in the store to get everything on your lists. I have to say, I prefer AnyList to Grocery IQ just because I can pull in recipes from a database, and I like that. But if you take coupons seriously, and a lot of people do, and you go to stores that have the kind of items that Grocery IQ has coupons for, that's probably the app you're better off using. They're both free, so try them out and see which one you like better. Number three, quick. Let's play a game of word association. Ready? When I say maps, you say, well, you might say Apple or Google or Nokia or a bunch of other maps apps. So when I say awesome maps apps, you say, you probably say Google, right? Probably. But soon you might also say City Maps, a service that has mapped every city in the U.S. and includes a social network that lets you share maps with friends. It started out in New York, San Francisco, Austin, and Boston, showing detailed business locations in those cities. But now the app has been completely redesigned and it covers the whole U.S. It's vector-based and includes details for more than 15 million businesses in the nation. The social part lets people like you and me, or publishers or brands, to create and share maps of the best places to go. So, let's say I make the best burrito crawl route in San Francisco. You, as my friend or my follower, can see my route and then add to that map with your own suggestions. And if you put a stupid burrito place as a suggestion, I will ostracize you forever. But I digress. City Maps is sort of like a hybrid between, I don't know, like Waze and Foursquare and the use of data that people share with each other. It's pretty fun. Like any self-respecting map app, City Maps will also give you turn-by-turn directions by car, by foot, or by public transport, and even lets you view real-time photos, menus, comments, and hours of each place. Now, I love the idea of browsing my friends' best of lists and adding to my to-dos in cities around the U.S., but I sort of wonder how many other people will want to contribute. City Maps is only as good as its user base. Am I right? This episode of i5 for the iPhone is brought to you by 99designs, that connects people looking for great graphic design with a community of more than 225,000 graphic designers from all over the globe. Whether you need a new logo, or maybe you're building a mobile app, or a business card, or a t-shirt, you can get nuts with any kind of graphic design, and you'll find the right designer for your project at 99designs. So here's how it works. Tell the company what you need. Say, 99designs, this is what I'm looking for. Then dozens of designers from their community will submit designs created just for you. Then you give them some feedback, you help them refine their design so it's exactly what you're looking for, and then you select your favorite and you pay for it. So let's say you're developing an iPhone app, right? You get anything from icons or buttons to the entire mobile app designed at 99designs. In fact, you can check out some amazing apps designed at 99designs. You can start your next graphic design project for as low as $199. Visit 99designs.com/i5 and get a $99 power pack of services for free. Our power pack gives you more designer time and attention, and 99designs will highlight your design project in their marketplace, so you get almost twice as many designs. That's a good thing for you. Variety is good. Visit 99designs.com/i5, and we thank them for their support of i5 for the iPhone. Number four. It's kind of an email-heavy day because you guys are really awesome. So I got an email from Matt about iOS 7, and it reminded me that it's been a few weeks since we spent any time really talking about specific new features to look forward to in iOS 7. Matt writes, in iOS 7, there's a feature called Wishlist, which you can add apps to for downloading later. I've used App Shopper for a long time for the same purpose, but this seems so much more easier because you don't have to leave the App Store. It also syncs between devices, which is nice. The downside I see so far is that I don't think it notifies you if the app goes on sale or anything. Either way, it's still a cool feature I haven't heard much about. Actually, Matt, thank you for the reminder to focus on iOS 7. There is a lot that we still haven't covered here, even though iOS 7 isn't out yet. It's getting closer by the day. So the wish list is basically iOS 7's answer to an Amazon wish list. You just tap on the share button in the upper right-hand corner. Then, if it's a paid app that you don't already own, you'll now see the option to add wish list, which looks like a magic wand. I don't really know why, but it does. You can't add any apps you already own, and you can't add free apps to the wish list, at least in the current iOS beta. But it is a handy little way to make sure that you don't forget about or lose apps that you want to come back to later. If nothing more, it's certainly a bookmarking. App Shopper, on the other hand, is an app that got pulled from the App Store, you might remember, once upon a time, but changed its approach to appease Apple by making it less about saving wish lists for yourself and more about social app sharing. So you can see what apps your friends are tracking and share your app interests with your friends. I have to be honest, I can't really imagine why any of us would want to share our app lists with each other, but maybe I'm missing something and that's what you've always wanted. If so, App Shopper is completely free. Finally, number 5. Over the weekend, I had some fun with a new social network called Canvas. That's Canvas with a K. And although I don't really think it's the next Instagram or Vine or Facebook, it's fun enough to be worth passing along. The idea is just taking photos. That's the old way of doing things. Now it's all about adding little captions and funny little thought bubbles to convey something. So you load up a photo from your camera roll into Canvas, or you choose one of Canvas's built-in backgrounds, and you start creating. It's a little weird that you can't take a photo from within Canvas, but maybe that just keeps the point of mashing up media you already have more clear. When you like what you've made, you can attach a soundbite. That's kind of interesting.
When one building doesn't like the other building quite as much.
Then you post your Canvas. It then goes into your feed that'll be seen by anybody who follows you. Standard social network stuff. Here's where Canvas starts to lose me, though. You can cross-post to Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr. Those are the three options you have when you post your Canvas. But you can't just save what you made to post somewhere else later, like, say, Instagram. Your Canvas won't be saved to your camera roll either. And unless you really think that your Facebook friends are going to appreciate this latest deep thought that you made, Canvas seems kind of limiting. Obviously, this is a strategy that the company took to try and build up their own internal network and keep Canvas from just being another image manipulation tool that people use to go to other more popular social networks. But I just wonder how many people over the age of 20 will stick around very long. That said, Canvas is free. I like the layout a lot, so go on, be an artiste. Before we wrap up this episode of i5, I've been getting some complaints lately from some of you over my scratched up iPhone. So I'd like to read you an email I received from Alan. Alan writes, "Hey Sarah, don't let anyone give you any grief about the condition of your iPhone. It says to me, there's somebody that actually uses their iPhone. Good for you. I've loved your show since the first episode, and even as an IT guy that has to support iPhones, I always learn something new." Oh, Ellen, you're the best. Thank you. I like to think of my iPhone as the skateboard of app devices. Without scabby knees, you're just another poser. And that's about it for this episode of i5 for the iPhone. If you know somebody who has an iPhone and might really like regular app tips and tricks, show them how to subscribe to the show at twit.tv/i5, or just search for us in their favorite podcast app. Email us at i5@twit.tv, leave us a voicemail at 614-ON-i5, or send us a video with an app review of your own. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'll see you next week on i5 for the iPhone.